This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. But before we start today, Site Visibility have another piece of shameless self-promotion because they've just released their 2020 PPC automation guide. The guide is completely free to download and it will help you to get started with each of the new automation settings in Google Ads. This includes smart bidding, responsive ad testing, dynamic search ads, and more. The best way to accelerate your PPC growth in 2020 is to start planning today. So download your free guide at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide or PPC-automation-guide, whichever way you prefer. And today I'm joined by Steve Wiedemann, Senior Search Strategist at Wiedemann Consulting Group in Los Angeles, California. Steve, how are you?
Fantastic, Andy. Thanks for having me on. You just mentioned automation and I kept thinking to myself, boy, I wish I would have automated my intro so I don't goof it up. I could have just played it on Alexa or Google Home.
Yeah, I had to be very careful about saying the A word on interviews because I've set off people's A machine before by saying it. How can I help you with that? Anyway, we won't say the A word. Let's start off with the usual. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Wiedemann Consulting.
Sure. I think I'm best known for some of the roles that I've had at companies like Disney. I was the SEM account manager and had worked with Disneyland.com and Adventures by Disney, and had spent some time at IBM Global Services back in the early 2000s. So I've always had a passion for search. At one point, I got a postcard in the mail from a college that was promoting a e-business management degree, and I immediately jumped at that and. I guess the rest is history. I'm best known, our group here is best known for like multi-location SEO. At some points, we started working with one of the largest like storage companies out here in the States. And I think we did a great job because we got some referrals out of it. And as different people we'd worked with moved to different organizations, they'd call us up and they'd say, hey, I'm at this new place and I can't do this without you. And so I think out of just from referral, we've become sort of the multi-location SEO strategist for brands that have typically more than 1,000, 2,000 locations. I also teach at two of the colleges here in California, Cal State Fullerton and UC San Diego. I build the online course for SEO and website design.
Oh, brilliant.
Always been a dream of mine to teach. And then last year, the opportunity came along and I thought I would be teaching history one day, but turns out I know a little more about SEO than history. So I got recruited and now I'm really enjoying the experience, kind of being a teacher. Last thing about me is if you've been in digital, you might remember me as SEO Steve from sort of the early days of search marketing. And the last 10 years, it's all just been about corporate and enterprise.
Interesting you mentioned about teaching there, because I always think teaching is one of the, I call them the noble professions, because there are thousands of people out there that will always remember you as a teacher.
Right.
Let's move on. So I want to talk quite generically about SEO, really about growing any sort of business through SEO. And let's start with keyword research. What is the best, Well, how do we do keyword research in 2019, coming on 2020?
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a tough question. I mean, there's so many angles of how you approach keyword research. One of the ways that we've put sort of a methodology together is starting with the data we already have. So we'll look at our Google Ads search term query data, right? We'll actually see what search terms produce customers for us, so that we don't obsess so much about those really high volume keywords, and instead we focus on keywords where we've got data that it produced sales or leads for us. Mm. If there's historical analytics data, same thing. We'll take all of the information and try to organize it into what becomes your sitemap. You know, the information architecture of your website. Yeah. You remember the term taxonomy, right? Building taxonomies around, you know, some of those key areas. One example, I think, you know, when you're doing keyword research, one example that we've used is an attorney out here in the States. Was adamant on ranking for the keyword truck accident lawyer. Yeah. And we said, well, it's $800 a click in Google Ads and one of the most expensive keywords in your industry, because these are $1 million lawsuits. Mm. And he says, I don't care. You guys are supposed to be one of the best guys, and I got referred to you. You got to make it happen. So what we started to do was look at all the different ways that people were searching for truck accident lawyer through tools like, you know, SEMrush and the Google Ads keyword tool. Mm. We used Conductor, right? We jumped into Conductor and did some keyword research. You could also use, you know, BrightEdge, Data Cube, and some other tools. We pull all those, you know, keyword opportunities together. And then we look at the competitors, right? We'll go out and reverse engineer what search terms are driving traffic to competitors. Run some pivot tables to see, you know, which keywords come up the most frequency, maybe even just wipe out the single frequency keywords so that you're only focusing on sort of overlapping or related search terms. And then you just start building it out. And as you're building out that silo, the list of keywords and clustering them into these little groups, those groups become ad groups to augment your PPC, and they also become part of that sitemap. So now that one attorney, as an example, has some 70 pages underneath his truck accident lawyer taxonomy and toggles between the first and third position, you know, depending on what time of the day it is and where you're located. But that worked. You know, we found so many different things that people were searching for that were related, that we were able to create supportive content. So now you don't compete with one page, you compete with one section. Mm. And that's always been what's helped us to win for some of those competitive keywords.
Just moving on to on-site content. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the best way to optimize your content these days?
Oh, there's so many different viewpoints on this one, right? Do all the things. Just interlink to the page with, you know, 1,000 links containing the same anchor text. And, you know, there's so many different ways that people approach this. And what seemed to work for us is taking what Google's already shared with us. And I have a guide that you're more than welcome to share. This is one of the guides that we actually, you know, sell, but you're more than welcome to the folks who are listening to this to share it with them.
Oh, thank you.
And this guide walks you through the same questions that Google asks for webmasters. And it says, you know, is your content making promises and headlines in all caps? And, you know, it's really focusing on the user experience. The keyword side of things is important too, right? We want to make sure, like, if we're going after truck accident lawyer, maybe we'll use some synonyms and some other things in the content, so that, you know, if a phrase gets crawled in its first crawl, they'll introduce the page in the search results. And if users find it interesting and click on it, we could rank for that keyword. But long term, it's really about the user experience and solving the actual intent of the user. And as a kind of an example is, if you search for title tag principles, I tried to invoke them in the listing that shows up number one for title tag principles, where we use a call to action, the keyword, and a unique selling proposition. But in that selling proposition, it isn't, here's the best way to optimize your title. It's, you know, how to optimize, basically how to optimize your title to improve your click-through rate and keyword rankings, because that's ultimately what they want to do. They don't care about title tags. What's the intent? Well, I want to move my rankings up. So if you can solve for that with your content, knowing what the user's end desire is, and we've incorporated that into, I mentioned law firms, into one law firm, we actually put some call to actions and value propositions right above the fold, because that's what his customers were telling him about why they chose him. Oh, I love that I can get your direct cell phone number. I love that you're like, you're super dependable. And I love that you do all these things. So he puts that right there at the top because that's what he knows his customers appreciate about him. And that works. We actually saw better quality scores, lower bounce rates, higher conversion rates. And over time, we saw higher keyword rankings. So feel free to share that guide, and it kind of walks you through all those same questions that Google shares and provides some examples as well.
Thanks, Zach. We'll put those in the show notes.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Moving to off-site links, especially links from authority sites.
Are we allowed to use the word links anymore? Isn't that illegal? You know, all the taboo around link building these days.
Let's use the word.
Yeah, they're referencing our site. They're not linking to it.
Yes, how to build references from authority sites. That would probably be a good rephrasing of the question.
Sure. So we this is a tough one, and you know, I spend a lot of time talking to folks that live and breathe link building, and there's still a lot of things that they do that I would raise an eyebrow to, and I know Google would as well. Eric Ward, you know, one of my favorite link builders, and he and I used to have a lot of conversations on Skype and talk about best practice, and what came from that was a structure that I thought would be helpful for, you know, those folks who are really getting into trying to get more PageRank pass through from other websites. And we came up with a model that includes four different approach types. That approach type number one is reference. If we can build something that's truly the most useful guide on a topic, even if it's as broad as what is SEO, and we get other websites to reference that, there's an authority signal there, right? There's a trust signal there. There's a, you know, here's a company that knows this subject. So reference being number one. And then number two, you know, would be cross-promoting. Hey, you're too busy. You don't want to reference me. No problem. Hey, maybe there's something we can do to kind of cross-promote for each other. Do you have something coming up in the coming months where we can contribute and vice versa? And then third would be just contributing. Look, you don't want to reference anything I have. You don't want to cross-promote with me. But I noticed that you've got some problems going on with the website. Could we maybe donate some time and help you out? And maybe you could just throw a thanks out for us on one of your, you know, future blog posts for fixing something on your site or, you know, doing something that you don't have the resources to do. And then lastly, there's that sort of red flag criteria that still works, but not necessarily the best idea. And that's sponsorship. Sponsorship falls into the realm of buying links, and we don't want to buy links. But if you can sponsor something where you're really making a difference and contributing to something, and you happen to get a link out of it because you don't ask for it, but you happen to get a link out of it, that's a way to do it. And then of course, the approaches themselves will start with social and building relationships, and, you know, and getting to know the people that we want to, you know, develop those relationships by name. Getting on the phone with them is incredible. If you can get on the phone, emails are dead. If you're sending emails still and using email templates, you're going to get flagged. Someone's going to screenshot it and throw it into social and laugh at you and tag Google in it. And it's much more effective to just pick up the phone and say, you know, hey, I'm a big fan of your site. I love, you know, the content that you have and what you've written. Is there something that we can do together? Mm-hmm. You build a better relationship that way, and it'll help you drive more referral traffic as well, which is the intent anyway, right? The link is more the collateral, right? So anyway, that's kind of how we approach, you know, of course, when you're building a link strategy, you start with your own internal links. You start with sort of a toxic link analysis. Yeah. You go through the obvious, you know, the intersecting link strategy that we use through Ahrefs. Ahrefs has this cool tool called the intersecting link tool. Throw your top 10 competitors in there and you can see, you know, where the most frequent links come from. Now, we sometimes will do it manually instead of using the link intersect tool. We'll just go in, put in the competitor's website, or if it's a specific keyword, the competitor's page on their website that targets that keyword, and we'll look at all the links that are coming in. And then we'll run a pivot table and say, wow, this top link is pointing to 10 of our competitors. Mm. So again, when we do it manually, we'll go as high as 50, sometimes even 100. So it becomes more like an industry study. Hey, if you're in law, here's the top 20 sites that link to all the lawyers and law websites. And then you get the lawyers.com and Justia and Avvo, and you know exactly, you know, where the center of that semantic web is going to be, so that when you're going after and pursuing links, you're starting, you know, in a place where Google's already sort of started categorizing your competition. The hardest part, I think, of link acquisition, link earning, is coming up with the creative idea. You know, whether you're Progressive Insurance and you're creating a dress like flow campaign for Halloween, you know, or if you're just coming up with some really creative idea that would get a lot of people to link to your website. Maybe you're Yoast and you're giving away a free plugin for SEO, right? You know, some people that do that.
Yep.
You know, when you, or maybe you're Xenu Link Sleuth back in the early 2000s, offering a free, you know, crawl tool to crawl your website. If you're able to provide something of value that people would link to, and doing a little bit of PR to find where similar tools and similar things are listed to also be listed on those pages. You know, here's another alternative. You know, hey, there's an article from 3 years ago. We have a new tool that you might want to add to your list. You know, it just takes a little bit of effort to do that outreach and earn that link.
Just briefly, because I wanted to talk about some advanced strategies and resources.
Sure.
As a way of getting higher rankings. What are your thoughts there?
Sure. You know, when you start getting into advanced, we're really talking more about featured answer and voice search. And, you know, we get into structured markup and rich results. You know, in my opinion, that's a big part of it. You know, our goal for 2020 for clients that have already been with us working on technical, contextual, and off-page visibility, our goal has been to pivot toward staying ahead of the competition. So we came up with something called Vroom, right? Vroom, like you're driving a car.
It's VROOM.
No, VRMMM.
Ah.
And this is voice readiness, mobile, markup, and measurement.
Yeah.
So voice readiness being, it's time to start exploring voice search. Let's make sure that if someone's on a mobile device, that our magnifying glass in our search box turns into a microphone icon, right? And uses the Google Voice API. If there's some topics that are important to us about our brand, and maybe even non-branded words that are about our product or service, let's create some questions and answers so that we start appearing in some of those, you know, those featured answer position zero spots in Google. And then thirdly, let's claim our business through, you know, the we won't use the A word, skills, and you know, Nest now, it used to be Home, you know, claim through the claiming console, so that if somebody does say talk to, which they will be doing in the next couple years, and they ask to talk to your business, you'll have some already pre-made questions and answers ready to go and available. And maybe even if your developers are savvy enough, you know, they can work with some of those GitHub resources and, you know, and start setting up some actions in the action console for people who want to make appointments or, you know, really interact with your website hands-free. So if you're playing in those three areas and just getting familiar with it, I think that's a priority for 2020. You don't have to master it, but your competitors are already out there playing with it. So get out there and you know, make sure that you've got that Google Voice API on your site, that you're addressing questions and answers about your product, service, and brand, and that you're, you know, claiming your site through the actions consoles and skill console and the A word place. Yeah. So, and then, you know, the mobile part of it, you know, mobile's 80% of our restaurant franchise's traffic. 80%.
Really?
That's insane. So if you're not already doing a lot of A/B testing on mobile to every month continuously be improving, since search rankings about patterns and algorithms, if every month you're not doing something to improve your mobile experience, you're going to get left behind. Markup. There's so many new markups that are coming up. There's new markups for podcasts too, and other cool things that you can do, recipes. And there's so many different ways that you can provide rich results in the search results. And we don't even know what else they're using that data for. So Pierre Farr, a friend of mine who used to work for Google, said at one conference we went to, the question was, well, what should we be marking up? You know, he said, hey, it's Pierre Farr from Google, mark up everything. Mm. And so we've been preaching that same story. And the last part is measurement. I don't see a lot of businesses really honing in on attribution and our online to offline tracking and things that are instrumental in helping us understand what the user's journey looks like when they're on our website, so that we can move things around to make it a faster purchase experience and to get them, you know, what they need quicker. And, you know, we've been working with a group called Measure School. If you go to YouTube, Julian there in Measure School, he's got these amazing tutorials on how to set up and optimize Tag Manager and analytics, and something really cool you should check out. And, you know, all of our more advanced SEO analytics setup goes through the folks over at Measure School.
One final thought, a top tip, a takeaway for our audience today, Steve, what might it be? Just one thing.
All right. One thing would be to have a baseline. That's it. If you can just know where you are right now, at least, you know, in a year from now, 2 years from now, when you look back, you can compare, you know, what you've done compared to where you were. Baseline in terms of metrics, you know, what are your current average keyword rankings for some of your priority keywords? What's your revenue and what's your cost per acquisition look like on paid search? What's your return on ad spend look like? And just get every possible metric you can capture from analytics and Search Console. Record it as a baseline. Look at what your competitors are doing too, so that when you measure up and you do that Delta report, you can also see where they've been putting their focus. I think that's the most important thing, because there's nothing worse than going to a client and saying, look at how much traffic we're getting now, and look at, you know, how great our page authority or site, you know, domain authority looks like, and like, well, this is really good, but where were we when we started? And if you don't have that baseline, it's kind of like, I don't know, I can't go back and get it now. It's you know, already been updated. So I think that's probably the number one thing I would start with.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Wiedemann Consulting Group?
Sure. So I'm easy to find. As I mentioned earlier, I'm SEO Steve pretty much everywhere. SEOSTEVE. Our team, if you want to interact with anyone in the group here, we're all pretty active on social. Just look for Wiedemann on any of those different social networks. We've got that handled pretty much everywhere. I also have some free stuff on a site we created called SEO Verified. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sure if your agency is being transparent, we've got this cool little free audit you can download that also has some of our tech audit criteria in there to get you going. We also have a course at Academy of Search that was roughly based off the classes I teach at Fullerton in San Diego. And if your listeners are interested, I put a 75% promo code for you, just RD20, and it's at academyofsearch.com. So if you guys want to check that out, feel free to you know, take any of those courses.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for coming on. And thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes will be in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. Questions and suggestions, the email is podcasts@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet Site Visibility. We have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Steve.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks a lot, Steve. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.